few, on May 29, 2012, a man in Seattle, Washington, opened fire in a coffee shop and killed 5 innocent people. In July 20th, 2012, a man entered a midnight screening of Dark Knight when that movie came out, and he went on to kill a number of people and wounded 58. On December 11th, a 22-year-old began shooting at random at a mall in Portland, Oregon. And on December 14th of 2012, a young man entered an elementary school in Newton, Connecticut, and murdered 26 children. That was in 2012 alone. Since 2012, all you got to do is look up on Google and see the different shootings that have happened all across America. And it's simple to identify that we're at a place in history where we need Jesus. We need God's intervention in our country. And I feel led to tell you of some of these statistics because I think that sometimes we as a church can get laxed and focused on our little world that we're oblivious to everything that's going on around us. When right now, if there was ever a time that people are ready to hear the gospel, it's now. The Bible tells us that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. You know, whenever I think of Jesus speaking to his disciples, I'm kind of thinking, well, what was Jesus really trying to tell his disciples? Was he speaking to the commitment of his disciples? Was he talking to them? Or was it a message to the 72 that were around? Because everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. But obviously, when he was speaking out, he was speaking to a crowd, and he was speaking to a specific people who were oblivious to what was going on around them. Obviously, some of the disciples did not notice that the harvest was ready. We're living in a day and age where people have become numb to wickedness. We're living in a day and age where all you got to do is go to the movies and look up all the movies. Look at all the movies that have come out about exorcism, all the spirits and demons. Now more than ever, children. You know, even cartoons today is full of witchcraft. Our children are being exposed to all of these things. But the message I want to get across is clear. People are open to hope. People are open to hearing the gospel. And if you and I in the church don't take our places, people will walk on by and never know the truth. When Jesus spoke of the harvest, he was referring to the lost souls that still needed to hear the good news of the gospel. He was speaking of the hurting people that still needed to be reached. And if you listen to the cry of this world, if you listen quietly, if you stop for a second, stand on the corner, you can hear the call. If you lower the music at night, you can hear the ambulance at night. You can hear the cry of the young lady who doesn't know that her son's going to come home or not. You can hear the cry of the young lady who walks home from school contemplating suicide because she doesn't have any friends. You can hear the cry of the young man wanting to end it all because his father isn't around. The cry echoes loud and clear. And the question that keeps coming into my mind is, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? Romans 10, 13 and 14 says this, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" You see, this evening, you got to understand something. We are called to be the ministers in the last days. We are living in the last days. The Bible says that in the last days, wickedness will be rampant. People will shy away from the truth of the gospel. But what we're looking for right now is people that live a godly lifestyle, not based on what they've heard, but based on what they believe. Because there's a lot of people, they believe in the gospel, but they're unwilling to live its godliness. There's a lot of people that they believe in what the Bible says, but they're unwilling to practice. Therefore, unable to walk in the power of God. We have been called to be the light of the world, and God desires for us to be his mouthpiece. He desires for us to be the servants that he can work through. You got to understand something this evening, that God can use your life to make an impact in your city, in your neighborhood, at your job, in your school. God wants to use your life. See, one of the huge dilemmas that we face today is that there are a lot of people that they desire to do great things for God. But for one reason or another, they never make it past their intention to do good. They want to do good, but for whatever reason, something holds them back. We can have compassion all day long. We can have compassion and want to help people, but if we don't move in action, it means nothing. And no other story illustrates this battle than the one found in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16. And if you read that story, the Bible tells us a story of a young man that owned everything. He had it all. And Jesus approaches this man, and this young man says to Jesus, what good thing must I do to enter eternal life? And Jesus tells him, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man says, all these things I have kept. What do I still lack? He messed up there. Come on, somebody. Jesus, cutting straight to the chase, looks at him and says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Here Jesus was dealing straight to his heart. Jesus was sending a message straight, because the guy desired to do great things for God, just like many other people. But Jesus cut to the chase and said, okay, you want to do something great for me? Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and now come after me. The Bible tells us that the rich young ruler, he was a young man with great intentions, but ultimately, he was unwilling to let go of the comforts of his life to do a good work. See, what we need today, we need men and women that are willing to let go of the comfort of what they've always known for the sake of helping somebody else. It's called sacrifice. And sacrifice is a principle you don't hear much about. And in this church, listen, yes, we preach on sacrifice, because this ministry was built on the sacrifices of men. When you look at the churches and how we started, when we first started our churches, Victory Outreach, in 1967, it started by Pastor Sonny, and all he did, he went into East LA. He had a burden for the drug addict, and you know what he did? His intention were moved in action. He started bringing drug addicts off the street to live with his family. Nobody funded him, but he had a desire in his heart to help the hurting. What did he do? He opened his house. He had 5 small children. Imagine that. You talk about commitment, that's commitment. Because when you're bringing drug addicts into your house, listen, some of you understand what that's like. He had small children. I have 2 baby boys. Come on, somebody. You got to think. But his desire moved past his comfort. He wanted to help people. We're living in a day and age where people want to serve God, but they want to serve God in a comfortable lifestyle. God, I'll serve you and I'll give of my time as long as it doesn't interfere with my comfort. Come on, somebody. Say amen or oh my. The story of the rich young ruler describes the battle that most Christians face today. On the one hand, we want to do great things for God. But on the other hand, we battle with self-gratification. We want to do God's work, but we also want to hold on to the comforts of our lives, unwilling to let go of what we've always known. And listen, for some of you, you got to understand something. God is calling you to the next level, but in order for you to go to the next level, you got to let go of some things. Now, I don't know where you're at today. I don't even know what your issues are. But there are certain things God says you cannot enter any longer until you give this up. God wants to pour His Spirit upon your life. He wants to give you power, but He says, I can't put this on your life until you let go of this now. Like the rich young ruler, there are a lot of Christians today. They're willing to keep the commandments. They're willing to come to church. They're willing to stay out of sin. However, there are certain things they don't want God to touch. And this is a plague of the church today. You know what it's called? Selfishness. There are a lot of people today, listen, I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to be negative, but the reality is, there are a lot of people, man, we're selfish. Come on, somebody. By nature, I'll tell you right now, without Jesus, I'm selfish. Hello. That's why I stay in prayer. Come on, somebody. There's a reason I read my word for the sake of my family. Hello. When I'm not praying, I'm not reading, I start taking my wife for granted. Hello. But I'm talking about battling our selfishness, because sometimes it's all about us. And you know what it means to be selfish? This is the definition: to be primarily concerned with one's own interest or advantage. I have a question for you. Does your life scream selfishness, or does it scream selfless? Is everything that you do, is it about you, or is it about other people? Is it about your interests and your advantages, or somewhere in there does it show that you're willing to sacrifice for someone else? See, because the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh is contrary and battles against what is right in God's sight. And you got to understand that these forces battle against each other. When I speak of the flesh, I'm talking about our sinful nature. When I talk about the Spirit of God, you got to understand the Spirit of God wants to move in your life, but then they're at battle with one another. This is why it's so hard to pray. This is why it's so hard to give up those little pet sins we don't want nobody to know about. Come on, somebody, just kind of wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Come on now. I've had pet sins before. I've been walking with the Lord for 16 years. Up to year four, I had little pet sins. Come on, somebody. When nobody was watching, I would do certain things. However, there was a void in my life. And I started to realize that those pet sins contaminated the anointing of God, the Spirit of God upon my life. Listen, what do you value this evening? Kind of a harsh word, huh? Wednesdays, I'm going to preach the truth. Come on, somebody. I'm going to preach the truth Sundays, too. But you guys are my, when you come out on Wednesday, that says something. That says I'm a soldier. Come on, somebody. But I want to confront that spirit inside of us that always says, me, myself, and I. I want to confront that spirit of selfishness for one reason and one reason only. People's souls hang in the balance. People's souls hang in the balance. There are people that, if you're willing to sacrifice your comfort, will come to know of the glory of God. There are certain people that God is going to put in your path. But if you're all about self and every focus is about our advantage, we're going to miss the opportunity to be a blessing. But when you're looking for every opportunity to be a blessing to people, guess what? That means you're a person of sacrifice. That means you're a person that's not focused on your own advantage, but you're focused on the advantage of somebody else. We have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to die to our flesh. Sometimes God will call you to sacrifice to your needs and to your wants. The question becomes, am I willing to make the sacrifice for somebody else? Am I willing to let go of certain things so that someone else can come to the glory of God? You know, I've been praying and I've been asking God, God, what do you want to do in the city of Tacoma? I've been asking God, God, what do you want to do in this church? And the Lord has been showing me that if we're going to go to the next level in our church, if we're going to grow and double our church, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take people utilizing their gifts for God's honor and God's glory. Luke 8, 1 through 3 says this. Catch this for a second. As Jesus was going through the cities and villages proclaiming the good news, the 12 were with him. Verse 2, the Bible says, a certain woman who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary Magdala, out of whom 7 demons came out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, watch this, these women were helping to support the ministry out of their own means. Some translation says these spirits were giving out of their own substance. I'm going to ask you guys to pay attention. Out of their substance. Listen to me. It's one thing to give from what you have that's extra. It's another thing to give from your substance. Let me break it down for you in layman's terms. It's one thing to give somebody something of what you have. It's a whole other thing to give them from your private stash. Come on, somebody. How many know about what a stash? Come on, somebody. You know what you keep under your pillow? Come on. What you keep in your sock? Hello. It's one thing to give God what you have left over. It's a whole other thing to tap in to your substance. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about finances. In some senses, yes. In this situation with these women, listen, these women, what did the Bible say? Certain women who had been cured of evil diseases. In other words, the one that came from the pits of hell and were revived and given a second chance, they were willing to give of their substance because they knew what it was to be down and out. And I need some of you to go back to where you used to be and remember what it felt like to sleep outside, to remember what it felt like when you had nothing, and say, you know what? I remember what that felt like. I will give of my substance. I think there are too many Christians that they tip God. Hey, God, let me give you what's in my pocket. When you came to God, you didn't even have a job. Come on, somebody. Had nothing. Come on, somebody. Today, you're all dignified. Listen, let us not be a people that we get so dignified that we forgot where we came from. There's nothing that bothers me more than when I see an ungrateful Christian, somebody that God pulled out, and all of a sudden they walk around in pride and arrogance. They walk around looking down on people. Don't ever forget where you came from. I always, whenever I'm at a place where I feel arrogant, come on, somebody. Whenever I'm at a place where I can feel my spirit being puffed up, or I, come on, don't act, come on, don't look at me like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I got road rage, hello. Cut me off, boy. I'm gonna tell you right now. Huh? Some of the men's home, you've been in the car with me, hello. I get all mad, all frustrated, all, huh? Don't talk to me crazy. Whenever I'm at a place when I'm ungrateful, I go into prayer. And you know what I pray? I don't pray prayers like, God, show me your glory. I don't pray prayers like, God, provide for me. I go to my prayer closet and I say, God, I need you to remind me where I was in 1990. I need you to remind me where I was in 1998. And I stay quiet. All of a sudden, I can remember when I was there high. I can remember when I didn't have a job. I can remember when I was lost contemplating suicide. And all of a sudden, my spirit raises up. God begins to remind me that he pulled me out. Today I walk in comfort. Today I wake up in my right mind. Today I walk in confidence. Used to be all filled with complexes, unwilling to talk to people, unwilling to look them in the eye. Today I have confidence. Why? Because of the power of who God is. Because of the peace that he put in my heart. And I'm willing to give it back. And some of you, you're at a place and you're at a crossroad. God is wanting more from you. The problem is this, like the rich young ruler, you're now caught at a crossroad. You're at a place where God says, okay, you want more of me? He says, I need you to give it all up now. And some, like the rich young ruler, you're unwilling to let go of your pride. Don't tell me nothing, Pastor Eric. Come on, somebody. Brother Stephen, don't tell them anything. They've been there. Been in the home 2 months. Come on, somebody. They want to tell you how to run the home. Brother Kenny, want to tell you. Come on, somebody. Want to tell you this is how you should do the home. Brother, let me see you stick around for 6 months. Come on, somebody. I got people that come into the church all the time. I've never seen them in my life. They want to tell me how to run the church. And I'm like, wow, God bless you. My name is Eric. I'm your friend. Come on, somebody. I'm not against you. Hello. And I always tell people when they come to church with great ideas, my biggest concern is, will you be with us in 6 months? Or is there an ulterior motive? What I'm trying to say is, listen, church, if we're going to go to the next level, it's going to take sacrifice. Listen, if the home is going to grow, it's going to take sacrifice. What happens when we get more men and we don't have beds? Who's going to be willing to say, take my bed? I'll sleep on the floor. That's sacrifice. And you don't complain about it. You don't complain about giving up your bed. You freely give it because you're not in the cold. Come on. You know what sacrifice is? You know what sacrifice is? When you're hungry and you give away the big piece of chicken. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. I ain't gonna lie. Buffet lines. Come on, somebody. Every time, I ain't gonna lie. They say food's ready. I'm like, hello. I like to eat. I could put some food away. But what about serving somebody before grabbing your plate? What about serving your enemy? Come on, somebody. Serving the one that gets on your nerves, hello. The one that reminds you of him. The one that reminds you of her. I'm talking about giving from your substance. Giving from where it hurts. Now listen, as even like with building the church, I'll tell you right now, you give me 20% of your time, I'll take 20%. The goal is that at some point you're willing to give more when it comes from your comfort. You know what? You know why? Because when it comes from your comfort, that meant it cost you something. See, most people don't understand that. Most people don't understand what it is to sacrifice. Listen to me. This is the definition of sacrifice. Surrendering a possession to God. Sacrifice is the act of giving something up, especially in order to help somebody else. That's the definition of sacrifice. When you're willing to give something up for the sake of helping somebody else. And we're living in a very selfish society. I want this church to be a selfless church. I want this church to be a church that is willing to sacrifice. We're not here to play games. We're not here to just lift up our hands, say hallelujah, give our two prayers and go home and go drink a beer. I'm talking about walking a holy life. Right? And there's all kinds of people. They'll justify what the Bible doesn't say we can't drink. The Bible doesn't say we can't smoke weed. God made everything. I guess I just want to know, can God really move through your life under the unction of beer or the unction of weed? Can God truly move with his power? Because the Bible says that light can have nothing to do with darkness. The Bible says that God can have nothing to do with sin. And whenever you do read of people drinking, just read the Proverbs. Nothing comes good from people who drink. It talks about a little drink here, a little sip there, and before you know it, you're swimming in your vomit. I'm talking about living a holy life where we don't compromise and we don't try to find an area to justify. Because we're living in the last days, guys. We don't need good ideas, we need God ideas. We don't need good speeches, we don't need good sermons, we need godly sermons. We need men that take the gospel serious and say, I will consecrate my life. I will live separated unto the Lord. Why do you think he separated the Levites? He said they couldn't even drink or eat grapes because he didn't want them to be contaminated by anything of this world. And today there are some people, they're like, man, I just want to eat grapes. Come on, somebody. You can eat grapes. You get what I'm saying. Because back then, grapes, when it was fermented, that's how they made alcohol. God said, I don't even want them to touch it. Why? Because they were the ones called to go before God's people. And listen, God has called you to be the priest of your household. And if God has called you to be the priest of your household, listen, that's a holy fear of mine. The fact that I'm going to stand before the Lord, not even for my church, but for what I taught my children. Sacrifice is important. I'm going to give you a few things on why sacrifice is important. You give me a few minutes? Amen? This is why sacrifice is important. Number one, God desires sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. The Bible says that God wants us to be living sacrifices. Hebrews 13:15-16 says this, through him then let us continually offer sacrifices of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That's a good scripture for worshiping when you don't want to. How do we know this? Because it says continually offering up sacrifices of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips. Let me tell you something. There are going to be times you're not going to want to lift your hands. You're not going to want to praise. But understand this. Praise is a time where we praise because of what God has done. Worship is because of who he is. And listen, you can worship God even when you don't feel like it. And the Bible says that those are sacrifices that are pleasing to God. 1 Peter 2:5 says this, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And when they talk about spiritual sacrifices, those are the things that you give up that may cause you to sin. That's a spiritual sacrifice. When you're willing to say, God, I put this on the altar because it takes me away from you, that's a spiritual sacrifice. The second thing you got to know about sacrifices, understand this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, what do I mean by that? There are some people, they're willing to sacrifice certain things, but unwilling to obey God. Because you can give certain things up, but if you're unwilling to listen to his voice, then we're in sin. True obedience will compel us into action. He is first and foremost concerned with our obedience. Our obedience flows from a heart that is yielded to God. And when our heart is yielded to him, the sacrifices are not hard to make. We're willing to make them because our heart has already been given to him. Psalms 51:16-17 says this, you do not delight in sacrifices or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, one you will not despise. God wants us to be broken before him. God doesn't want us to sacrifice necessarily our time to do ministry, if our heart is not right. God is far more concerned with the condition of our heart than the work of our hands. And there are some, they lose sight of that. Number three, you got to know this about sacrifice. Your sacrifices will be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says this, but you take courage, do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. There are some of you, You're going to sacrifice some things that are going to be very hard, but I got good news for you. Because you sacrificed it today, God's going to give you double for your trouble. God's going to give you double what you sacrificed. What you sacrifice today, if you put it on the altar and it's a spiritual sacrifice, know this. The Bible tells us that he takes notice of that and that will be rewarded. Luke 18:29 says this. So he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house, his parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the ages to come." In other words, those who sacrifice today will be given many times over in this world, catch this, and in the ages to come. In other words, you sacrifice today, God will bless you here on earth, and he'll bless you in heaven. But most people don't think that far ahead. I want to challenge you. Live with an eternal mindset. Live with an eternal focus, because when you understand that one day you'll have to answer to the Lord, your choices are different. Number four, something you got to know about sacrificing. Sacrificing for other people is worth it. God desires for us to be living sacrifices. And for many of us, we know what it is to experience the goodness of God. He has the power to restore that which has been broken and that which has been taken away from us. And we have to get to a place where we're willing to sacrifice for other people because it blesses God. When we live our walk with that mindset, the blessings are that much better. The world around us is falling apart. Listen, we need to start planning Bible studies in all areas of this city. But I'm going to tell you this. To have a Bible study is going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your house. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but sometimes having people over, that's come on. It's uncomfortable. I remember having Bible studies, and they broke into my house and stole my wife's wedding ring. Stole my laptop that had every message I ever preached in my Bible study. The guy was in my Bible study. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm about to close this Bible study. Crazy people, I'm just trying to do good over here. Y'all are breaking into my house when I'm not here. And I had some crazy dudes in my Bible study. I mean, I had some killers in my Bible study. I ain't gonna lie to you. And one of the guys looked at me. He said, "Hey, Pastor." He shook my hand. He's all, "You want me to get him?" I thought about it for like 2 seconds. But I came to a crossroad. And I remember the Lord spoke to me clearly. When you've done all you can do, continue to do good. The reality is the type of people that we're called to reach, they may turn on us. They may be ungrateful. The question becomes, can you keep a pure heart and love them for them? God has called us to love the unlovable. Think about that for a second. To love the unlovable. That's what we have been tasked to do. Listen, Victory Outreach Tacoma, we're called to work with the one that nobody wants to work with. Listen, for those of you that are in school, my prayer for you is that you would work and speak hope to the one that nobody likes. Some of you got to go back to your neighborhoods. Go with help. Come on, somebody. Don't be crazy. But we got to get back to the place where we're willing to sacrifice, guys. I want to raise up an evangelism team that shows up. Come on, somebody, at 10 at night and says, "We're going to go out till 12 at night." You guys knew what it was like. Party didn't even start at 10 o'clock. Party started at 12 o'clock. Hello. Let us not be Christians who say, "Oh, it's too cold outside. I don't want to go." Let us not be Christians that say, "Oh, I don't want to go back in that neighborhood." But let us be people that say, "Prepare me, consecrate me, and send me back out, God, because I want to give people hope. I want to share the gospel. I want to love the unlovable. I want to give of my substance. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight. And Alec, maybe you can just come and play something soft behind. Whatever God puts on your heart. Listen, this evening, there are some of you, you're here, and God is asking for more. And some of you, you're sensing God wants to take you deeper. God wants to take you deeper. Part of you, you're afraid because you know what that requires. And there is a battle right now that you're facing. I want you to know that that's a common battle. And that's a battle that you'll feel throughout your entire walk, because at every level, God requires more. And tonight, I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone tonight. But God is requiring some. It's now time to give of your substance. No more surface living. No more surface serving unto God. God, I'm just going to give you the minimum. But I'm talking about giving God from a place of sacrifice. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to search your heart. Let God minister to your spirit tonight. Tonight, if you're here and you say, man, if you say, Pastor Eric, there, I can feel God calling me. I can feel the burden in my heart to help other people. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, I want to give of my substance,